Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later, we'll be talking with author and constitutional scholar Ian Haney Lopez on dog whistle politics, how politicians of both parties have used race to divide Americans, and his prescription for moving past those divisions. But first, Republican U.S. Representative Rodney Davis and Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan debated for the first time this election cycle on Monday night in Champaign. They're in a competitive race for the 13th District, which covers a large portion of our listening area, from Champaign-Urbana up to Bloomington-Normal, then down through Decatur and Springfield, and southwest to Alton and the Mississippi River. This is the second time the two candidates have faced off in an election, and it was incredibly close in 2018. Republican Rodney Davis won by just a percentage point, and the race is drawing national attention once again from both parties. This morning, we're joined by two panelists from last night's debate to help us recap. I'd like to welcome Mary Hansen with NPR Illinois in Springfield. Mary, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
I'd also like to welcome Mark Maxwell, who's Capitol Bureau Chief, covering the Illinois State House for WCIA-TV. Mark, welcome back to the 21st to you as well.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
And I guess I should also mention that I moderated the debate, but this morning we also want to hear from you. Do you live in the 13th District? Did you find the debate illuminating? The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Do you think Davis is doing a good job, or are you supporting his opponent, Dirksen-Londrigan? Join the conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Mary, I'm going to begin with you. Just what are your overall impressions of last night's debate?
Well, I mean, I think, as you mentioned, this is the another rematch for these two candidates, and very similar themes to what we saw in 2018. We spent a lot of time talking about healthcare, sort of arguing back and forth. The candidates did about the Medicare for All plan, the Medicare X plan, and support or not for the ACA and coverage for pre-existing conditions. So a lot of that was sort of more of the same from what we saw in the race. One of the things that struck me is that, we did ask about, Donald Trump and President Trump and COVID-19 Congressman Davis's role in his campaign and things like that. But there really wasn't a lot of discussion of Trump outside of that. I know that has been something that some Democrats in other races around the country have sort of started hammering Republicans on their support for the president. But we didn't see a whole lot of that last night.
Yeah, which is interesting, and I guess maybe speaks to the closely divided nature of this district, perhaps. Mark, I want to get to COVID-19 and those questions in a moment, but what were your overall impressions of the debate?
Well, clearly these two candidates are getting more comfortable with each other, and they're both comfortable on the attack. That was the interesting thing that was consistent throughout the night. I don't know that either one of them really gave us any new information about where they stand on the issues. Perhaps some people tuning in for the first time were reminded of where they stand, but they were both very aggressive. That tells you something about how close they see this race could be. They both were intent on highlighting any of the negative aspects they could about their opponent. But I do think that, and maybe this is just something that comes with experience in Congress, right? Being in that hot seat for four terms. I think Congressman Davis was more comfortable as a counterpuncher. He looked more comfortable under attack than his opponent did. Just going back and rewatching it and seeing the different responses, Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan was more comfortable on attack than she was under attack. And that was an interesting thing just in terms of style. But on substance, we saw a lot of different examples where they were able to tell us where they stand. It for that reason, it was pretty helpful.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And Mary, I want to ask you one of the specific questions that you asked about now. You asked about police reform, which is obviously a huge issue this election cycle. Can you give us an overview of what your question was and what the candidates had to say?
Sure. So I, asked about referencing the, continued protests and demonstrations over police brutality, and asked what Congress should be doing to, in terms of police reform. Ms. Dirksen-Lonergan talked about, the need for more de-escalation training and bias training, but also sort of widened the lens and said, tied the protest to issues beyond beyond police reforms and calls for police reforms, and talked about the need to address systemic racism, sort of in all areas, in health and in the economy. And so she really sort of widened it there. And Congressman Davis came back and said, Illinois is a model when it comes to training, and Congress should sort of take its cues from the rules that are put in place by Illinois. And actually, our colleagues at Illinois Public Media did an excellent fact check of some of the issues that the candidates debated last night. And the reporters there pointed out that while it's true that Illinois does have some training requirements, we don't have a set number of hours that that police are supposed to do these de-escalation tactics. So that was sort of some of the back and forth there.
Yeah. Mark, and just a note to our listeners, we switched the way we are connecting to Mark. So if his voice sounds a little different, I promise there's no chicanery going on or anything like that. But Mark, the first question last night was related to COVID-19, specifically mask wearing. The president had just returned to the White House yesterday after being hospitalized for 3 days with the virus. And Congressman Davis had COVID-19 earlier this summer, but only mild symptoms. And of course, when President Trump stepped off the helicopter and waved to the cameras, he prominent, removed his mask, made a point of that. And the two candidates differed on whether there should be a national mask mandate, right, Mark?
They did. That was and that was a position that, again, Congressman Davis felt comfortable taking. It seems to strike at the very heart of this issue in our American politics, is whether or not a federal government can impose on every free individual a public health ordinance or requirement about should you wear a mask. We know the science tells us the mask keeps us safer, but the politicians are a bit queasy when it comes to how do you enforce that? How do you put that together? So a lot of Republicans, I don't know that all of them have, but a lot of Republicans have come down on the side of saying, well, it's an individual choice. You have that individual right. And a responsibility to protect yourself and those around you. And you've seen Democrats try to take a more collective approach to say, for us to beat this thing quickly, we've all got to do this together, and wearing a mask is a small thing to ask. But it's that enforcement part that is a little harder to carry out. So we saw those divided political lines come forward even in this issue of public health during a pandemic, which I think is the pandemic itself has really changed some of the conversation around this race itself.
Yeah, and let's get to that. Although I do want to say before we move on to the Affordable Care Act, which seems to have be one of the more dynamic elements of this particular campaign, in this race, in this district. But the idea that mask wearing, this personal freedom idea. I mean, masks are to protect other people, right? We wear the mask to protect others, not to protect yourself. And that seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding that some people still have about this idea. Well, I'm not worried about catching the virus. Well, that's fine, but you wearing the mask protects those around you. Just wanted to make that point, that scientific consensus expert point, clear. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're recapping last night's debate between incumbent Republican Congressman Rodney Davis and his Democratic challenger, Betsy Dirksen-Lonergan, with Mary Hansen, a reporter with NPR Illinois in Springfield, and Mark Maxwell, Capitol Bureau Chief for WCIA. They were both on the panel with me last night. Mark, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act now. This was a huge topic. Lonergan accused Davis of wanting to repeal coverage for pre-existing conditions. Davis denied that. We heard a lot of talking points, even on questions that were not directly about this, from both candidates. What does Davis's record show?
Well, he clearly voted against the Affordable Care Act, and he voted to strike it down. The problem is that never became the vote that he cast in the House that passed. It didn't pass the Senate. So, and he referred to that as the one vote that counted last night. Betsy Dirksen-Lonergan has hammered him, saying he voted 11 times this way. He said, well, those other 10 votes were all procedural. All that back and forth about how many times he voted matters less than what he might have delivered. The difficult situation that I think the congressman understands he's in here is that that never became law because it died in the Senate. So all of this discussion about, well, did they have a replacement plan? We kind of have to trust them at this point that maybe they would have come up with something. We never saw it happen because John McCain voted against it and killed it in the Senate. Now you've got Congressman Davis saying, trust me, we would never take away the Affordable Care Act without a replacement. But you've got Betsy Dirksen-Lonergan saying you can't trust him because he voted to repeal it without replacing it all at once. So I think she knows she has him over the barrel a bit in this uncomfortable situation. She's hammering away hard at that. And it strikes me that he no longer – I mean, I think his most pronounced break with the Trump administration is highlighted here. He says he does not support the Trump administration's lawsuit that could end or dismantle the Affordable Care Act just after the election. And that's a notable and newsworthy difference of opinion between a Republican congressman and the Republican in the White House.
Mary, I want to ask you another question that you had for the candidates was on rental assistance. I mean, this is obviously a big issue related to the pandemic. So many people are out of work or on furlough or their incomes have been reduced, but their rent hasn't. What did the candidates have to say there?
Yeah, so I asked about, you know, should Congress make more money available for rental and mortgage assistance? As you mentioned, this is definitely related to the sort of the public health crisis and economic crisis sort of hitting folks at the same time. And, you know, Ms. Dirksen-Lonergan answered the question, yes, we should do that. And, you know, sort of pivoted to broader, you know, sort of highlighting the you know, the problems, the challenges that people are having, paying their bills, paying for food, things like that, saying that we should have another, you know, put more money into another aid package, which, you know, surprise, surprise, Congressman Davis agreed with. And, you know, I think this sort of, you know, shows that, sure, there is, you know, sort of consensus that we do need to do more, but, you know, the sort of partisan gridlock that we see in Congress, I'm not quite sure how either candidate would, you know, propose to help, you know, dislodge that. But both sort of said, like, yes, we need to do more. Look at what we did with the Paycheck Protection Program. And we need to be doing more of that.
Okay, we've only got about 3 minutes left. And Mark, you know, all elections that have an incumbent are basically, in some ways, referenda on the incumbent. And so let's talk briefly about Davis's record in Congress. And there are these two images put forth by the opposing campaign. Lonergan points out Davis voted with President Trump's preference more than 90% of the time, which I think is a reference to the website 538, has a congressional tracker where they rate how Congress people are voting with or against the president's wishes. Davis, on the other hand, touts being ranked the 13th out of 435, presumably, most bipartisan member of the House by the Lugar Center. What do you make of those numbers and which sort of congressman is Rodney Davis really?
Well, I think they're using different metrics to get to a different point, right? A lot of votes happen in Congress where you do vote with your party and you sort of just flip the switch and everybody knows, okay, we're voting this way. So those votes with candidate so-and-so 90% of the time, I don't pay too much attention to those as much as I do. How do they vote on the very close races, the close issues, the Affordable Care Act, those big ones that everybody cares about? How do they vote in those matters? I think people are more drawn to the specifics than they are to the vague, sweeping generalities of voted with so-and-so. It's no secret that Congressman Davis has aligned himself and really defended President Trump for much of the last 3.5 years. But he's also taken some pretty significant breaks with the president, specifically on election integrity. Should you, you know, cast a ballot and apply for one in the mail? He says no. He comes out against the president. He's now being a little bit more vocal in his criticism. Even in 2016, when the candidate Trump was running, he broke with him there too. So he's shown a little bit of an ability to do that, but he's also tried to, as much as possible, he's tried to kind of hitch his wagon to President Trump's as best he can.
And he is honorary co-chair of President Trump's reelection campaign.
Correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, he also won't tell you who he's voting for. So it's
yes. All right. We're going to have to leave it there. It was an interesting debate. I want to thank you both for being here today to talk about it with me and for being on the panel last night. It was a unique experience for me, my first time moderating a televised debate. So thank you for being there with me for that. It was great.
You did great, Brian. Thanks.
And that is it for that conversation. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Ian Haney-Lopez, who is a professor and author who has looked deeply at race and class in American politics. That is coming up after the break. You are listening to The 21st. More to come in just a moment. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.